Very pleased to have with me members of the San Diego Jewish Men's Choir. Many of my listeners know how much I really enjoy choir singing, and I have with me their new CD, Heritage. This hour will be an introduction of members of the choir, and we will hear quite a few selections of their wonderful album. So first let me say hello to Ivan Strashun. Shalom.
Shalom, Charlie. We're so happy to be with you today.
Oh, and I'm very pleased that we're proceeding with this. Ivan, tell us a little bit about the organization, and perhaps introduce the other members who are joining in on this discussion.
Okay. Well, let's first start with one of the absolute key members of our choir, Ruth Weber, our artistic director. She's primarily responsible for bringing us to the point we're at today musically. After Ruth, we have Mark Zickel.
Hi, Charlie.
Hi.
I'm primarily in charge of legal and due diligence and make sure that we satisfy all the requirements as a 501c3 organization.
By the way, Mark, how long have you been with the choir?
I'm in my third year with the choir at this point.
Oh, and Ruth, we didn't get a chance to say hello. Hi, Ruth. How are you?
Hi.
How long have you been the artistic director?
About 3 years also.
Uh-huh. Okay. And what is the role of the artistic director?
To develop the group, not only to rehearse them and help pick literature for the group, but develop them and guide them in a direction that where they'll be more marketable and that where more audiences will find them appealing.
Okay, sounds like a great...
To help us stay in tune. That, that's correct. That's the toughest job.
Right, right. And Brian?
I am the sort of the financial officer here for the little bit of money that we have and have been in the choir probably for about 15 years. And I'm also involved in a lot of the sort of marketing and other ideas that we need to move forward.
Uh-huh. Okay. And Sean Adelstein?
Charlie, firstly, thank you for your time. You know, we're really delighted to be here with your audience. We're so passionate about this. My responsibility in the choir was first and foremost to make sure that we kick off our vision of getting this incredible liturgical music across to so many people, not only here in America, but all around the world. As you can tell from my accent, I'm a real immigrant from South Africa, where this music is incredibly loved. And we were all brought up in the Orthodoxy, in synagogues, where choirs sang, just exactly like our men's choir. So one of my major responsibilities in the last couple of years was to make sure that we got the CD off the ground. And we are so proud to have launched Heritage this year, an incredible, incredible work of art that will be a beautiful CD for thousands of people to listen to and smile and sing along with. And we're gonna make sure that we get this music, this fantastic music that is loved by so many people, out, so that audiences, not only your audience, but many other people, will hear this great music. I've been with the choir since I had a lot more hair, and since day number one.
Day number one goes back how many years?
About 16 years now.
Uh-huh.
I remember the first quote-unquote practice we had was in a little room of our then choir director, who's now our emeritus choir director, Rhoda Galis. For anybody from South Africa, that name will elicit very, very fond memories. And Rhoda is an incredible musical teacher and has been involved for decades in teaching voice to many, many other people, and I think that She started this vision for the choir, and we have progressed tremendously since those early days 16 years ago. But I'm really grateful to be able to tell your audience about the CD, and we're looking forward to playing a few songs.
By the way, my audience knows that I'm a great fan of choirs, and the Johannesburg Choir is a favorite of mine. And is Ushi Tugendhat with that choir? I always get confused.
Absolutely. So yeah. Ushi was the first person that brought together this this vision about multiple shul choirs, let's say, getting together like in a community choir.
Uh-huh.
And the Johannesburg Men's Choir was one of the first choirs that I sang in many years ago. And I think that was part of the vision, is we could do the same thing right here in San Diego. And I believe we've accomplished that and then some. So hopefully in the next hour, we'll be able to give your audience an idea of what we have done in the past 15 years.
Right. And Ivan.
Yes.
How long have you been with the choir?
I've been with the choir since about 1999.
Uh-huh.
So that's, what, 15 years,
yeah,
I guess. And I've loved every minute of it.
Okay. Before we get to some of the interviews, why don't we start with our first selection that you've suggested, which is Psalm 150. Perhaps, Ivan, you want to introduce the selection.
Psalm 150 was a composition by Louis Lewandowski of the Hallelujah prayer, and it's a really dramatic piece. It's named for the famous musical director of Berlin's new synagogue in the late 19th century. Lewandowski was one of the most important reformers and composers of music in the synagogue liturgy. We enjoyed singing it a great deal, and I'm hopeful that your listening audience will too.
Okay.
And one quick thing, Charlie, this piece was rearranged for a four-part men's choir by Lior Himmelstein. That's also a name that elicits memories from South Africa. Lior's father was an incredible musician and a choir master in South Africa. Lior now lives in America in Orange County, and Lior rearranged this piece for a tenor bass choir, like we are. So just to give him the credit, this is an incredible work that he put together.
Okay, so let's hear the first selection.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. great way to start. How many members are there in the choir?
There are about 24 members, and we typically get 20 passionate guys every week. And it's really quite remarkable.
That's quite a commitment. What I really want to delve into, we'll be getting to quite a few of your selections. I'm hoping that this interview will perhaps lead the way for other choirs to be formed in other parts of the country. So what I'd like to really know is how did it get started, and what are some of the words of advice that you might have to someone, let's say, in Houston or Chicago or even New York? You know, we have Mati Lazar, and we have in East Hampton Iskak Hamov with a wonderful choir, but we don't have a choir similar to yours that is, you know, dedicated, ongoing. So perhaps let's, you know, can we get some of the insight?
Charlie, that's a great question, and part of our mission is to show others, obviously, how people that are passionate about this music, if we can just get them together, you can get this incredible type of choir formed. First and foremost, you've got to find a core group of people that love this type of music and are passionate about it, as I keep on, you'll hear that word again. And the artistic director, the glue, the fabric that's going to hold all these people together, that is such a critical person to find as well. You know, a lot of these groups just start off with 8 or 10 guys that stand up and love singing this type of music in shuls. And next thing you know, if they get some of the sheet music and there's somebody that can go through the parts and give them a brief introduction to singing in different parts, anybody who's got those core few people together can get a choir like this started. Sure, it took us a long time to get to the next level with regards to producing a CD and everything, and that's where somebody like Ruth came in with her incredible experience at running professional choirs that have incredible marketing, that have all the connections to do, you know, productions and CDs and things like that. But the first grassroots level is definitely, Charlie, started at those 10 guys that are gonna stand in a room, in a back room, in a shul somewhere, and say, what else can we do besides just Shabbos singing, you know, singing some of the Shabbos songs for Shamru or anything that we traditionally sing on Shabbos. That's where it's going to be. There is so much of a wider, incredible liturgical availability of music out there. It just takes somebody to say, let's try something different. Let's try like a Psalm 150, like you just heard. Let's try Yiddish song that we all used to hear from our Zaydas and Bobas. Let's try something different. And that's what hopefully we have done, and what you and your listeners will hear in the coming 45 minutes.
Yes, well, of course, it's so interesting, the great variety of the selections that you have on your CD and in your repertoire.
We also have an interesting group of people, because the choir consists of guys who are American, Israeli, South Africans, from Mexico, from France, and Colombia. So it's really an interesting mix of different cultures, and we often run into problems of how to pronounce certain words in Yiddish, because everybody had a different grandparent from Russia, Germany, Poland, mm-hmm. Romania, and everybody has a different story. So that always wastes a bit of time, should I say.
Yes.
and so we've spent time on the CD and trying to address as much diversity in the music as we can, with some liturgical, such as the one we've just listened to of Psalm 150, but also on the CD we've got contemporary Israeli music in Hebrew, obviously, and Yiddish songs and Ladino from the old days from Spain. So it's a very, very nice cross-section of some of the music that's available. I'd like to talk about what our mission has been for the CD. And the mission for the CD was to actually, and it was called Heritage, which was for a very good reason, is to preserve our heritage and to share it with as many people as we can. And we were fortunate through Kickstarter to be able to raise the funds to not only produce it, but also to have replicated 1,000 CDs, of which we've sold to date about 550-600.
Uh-huh.
We were also very fortunate that somebody has given us another 1,000 CDs as a donation.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be used to accomplish our main mission, which is to distribute those CDs for free to various senior centers, libraries, schools, and JCCs throughout North America, including Canada and South America too, if the opportunity arises. And we are currently in the process of raising the funds to be able to fulfill this mission. And one might think that, oh, well, okay, if you have the CD, then sending it out is easy. But it takes quite a concerted effort of somebody's time and the costs of mailing and the envelopes and the follow-up so that it makes sense. And so we are actually actively trying to raise funds so that we can continue to fulfill this part of our mission.
Well, I think that is certainly an admirable goal, and I normally don't like to interject, but I need to just mention this because it just happened a week ago in New Jersey, in the Essex County area. There is an old age home, the Daughters of Israel, and there was an article in the local paper that they are using music to get people to remember their past and the role that music plays as therapy. And I wrote a letter, which was published just the other day, about how I used to go to the Daughters of Israel. I'm going back 20, 30 years ago with my mother, my wonderful mother, Evelyn Perlmutter, and we used to play Yiddish selections. And what I wrote in my letter was, I clearly remember one woman who came in on in a wheelchair, half asleep, and I could see her lips moving with each song. And then all of a sudden, she opened her eyes and she started singing. And she really came alive. And she motioned to me at the end. I went over to her and she whispered in my ear, I've awakened her from a dream. And I still cry when I think of that moment. But I realize the impact of the music and what your music can do throughout the country, throughout the world. I mean, it's wonderful.
So what we are in the process of doing now is actually gathering together an address list of appropriate venues who would be able to use our music. And if there's any way that you're able to help us with that, that would be greatly appreciated.
Well, I'm sure, of course, today with the computer, there's all things are possible with a computer. Geographically, I don't know San Diego, but I guess it's a large city. Do the members more or less live nearby, or and where do you meet each week?
Well, the membership comes from all areas within San Diego. We're a relatively large city. They come from north, south, east, and the west by the coast. We have a wide diversity of our members. They don't all live in one area and socialize together in one area. We come together as a community from diverse cultures and groups within the city.
And where do you meet?
We meet at Chabad of University City. We have been privileged to have the facility given to the use of the facility given to us by Rabbi Lida of Chabad. He's been most generous over all these years in allowing us to use the shul to practice and rehearse, and also for occasional performances. They've been wonderful to us, and without them, we would have had a tough time.
Interesting. How about our next selection, introducing Simchas Torah,
That's a lovely number.
Charlie, this number we had in mind 10 years ago when we said, if we do a CD, you've got to do the most upbeat, unbelievable Yiddish song that we can think of. And Simchas Torah by Mark Warshawski is just elicits that spirit of being a Yiddel, right?
Okay.
Being a Jew, you can hear that violin playing, and this is an incredible opportunity for a couple of soloists to sing on this track as well. And this is just happy, absolute, wonderful Yiddish music. So we hope your listeners will enjoy.
And before you play it,
sure,
look for the fact that this is not simply the guys making a lot of noise with Ruth at the piano. Ruth has overwoven all sorts of other instrumentals, which she did. We have no idea how she did it, but it's a wonderful number, and it's Ruth put it together.
Great.
Incredible.
Okay, Simchas Torah.
Ich bin ein Narr im Jidl und es darf mir gut der Meuch. Simchas Torah sing ich ein Lidl und mach ein guter Käusel. Sie und den Tagatzin.
Ich würde sagen, als Ding ist Blatter, hab ich mir's Bach Hashem gesinnt.
I just wanted to dance with that one. It's great.
Excellent.
It's
glad
wonderful.
You enjoyed it, Charlie.
Wonderful. Now, Ivan, just before we continue, if somebody wanted to reach you, first of all, to purchase this particular CD, or if they would like to have some more information, what's the best way for them to contact you or the group?
Sure. The easiest way to buy our CDs is through Amazon or iTunes. And if anybody wants to reach us, they can reach us at San Diego Jewish Men's Choir. And I'll give you the quick address. It's sdjmc.org.
sdjmc.org. .org. Oh, it's very simple.
Yes.
Of course, everyone who's listening to this is at their computer, so you may get inundated.
You can just Google us, Charlie. How's that? San Diego Jewish Men's Choir.
San Diego Jewish. Right, that's great. We'll repeat that for people so that they'll be able to be sure to get it. I'm curious about the age. The range of the ages, and are they all Orthodox, or do you take from various parts of our people?
That's a very good question, and the answer to that is we range from Reform all the way through Orthodox. We are a wide eclectic range of folks. As far as ages are concerned. It's probably fair to say that we're aging, and part of our mission is to bring in younger people. Yeah. And we have just recently brought in someone very young. I'd say, I don't know how old Grant. Our youngest member is 16, and our oldest is probably 72.
Uh-huh. That's great.
That's
and,
me.
And I missed that.
Ivan said that was him.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'd have to say that one of the keys to making this a success, I think, is that we do encourage diversity in the group, whether it be age or our respective Jewish backgrounds. And as one of the newest members of the group, having been in it only really less than 3 years, I'd have to say one of the nicest things about it is it's so comfortable and so welcoming. To be brought into the group. You know, we go through a simple audition process, and once you've been through that, you're there, you're part of the group. It doesn't matter if you've been there 15 years or 1 day, for that matter. And it's just a very welcoming extended family, you might say.
Yeah, it sounds like a great fraternity, fraternity of a group. The next selection we'll hear, I understand, is Yevarechecha. How about Ivan introducing that, or one of the others?
Charlie, this medley was one of the first songs I do remember singing. We had brought through a number of contemporary Israeli Hebrew pieces, and we did this medley of Yevarechecha Hashem, Sisu et Yerushalayim, and what's the third one? And Lechuna Ranana. And really, why we put this medley together is, just think about it, almost everybody should know one of these three pieces, right?
Yes.
So we sing this a lot at functions, Charlie, because this is the one that everybody sings along and claps along, and this is exactly the type of piece that we love singing because audience participation is so important to us. So we hope your listeners enjoy it.
Okay.
Shalom.
It's just joyous, really, really. You can feel it. That's for sure. I'm curious about the commitment that people make to this choir. It astounds me. The commitment is once a week for. I mean, how many weeks in the is there a vacation break? How does it work?
Everybody goes on vacation for a short time, but people just attend when they're not on vacation. But for the most part, we meet year round, and each rehearsal is about 2 hours in length. And what's amazing to me is the men stand for the entire 2 hours of the rehearsal. I've never directed another choir where the choir stands the whole time.
Really?
So usually when there's a live performance, it's a real chore to get the choir to stand up for an hour for the performance, but not for this group because they've already been standing 2 hours every rehearsal.
Oh, wow.
So.
Wow. It's amazing. It really is. And I'm curious, is there an executive committee or how are decisions made within the choir?
That's a great question, Charlie, because that goes to some of your listeners that maybe want to put together a choir. The five people that you're hearing today in this interview are basically the executive of the choir. They elected, and some volunteered, I'd say in inverted commas. But you always need a group of people that are doers, right, Charlie? You've got to get somebody that isn't just talk. You've got to get those three, four people that are actually going to do. And with Ruth's guidance as the fabric that holds us all together and the glue that binds us, we're a good group. We work together. We divvy out tasks. And then when there is something like preparation for a large concert where we do need subcommittees, we do elect or ask for volunteers with a few people to handle tickets, a few people to handle marketing and brochures, or hand out posters to various shuls and things like that. So that's how we get things done, and it's worked pretty well for us through the years.
Uh-huh. Do you have sort of in your mind a maximum number of participants that you would want to have?
I think we recently asked ourselves that question as well, Charlie, because we are 25 at the moment, and there was a resounding yes for more. We definitely feel that knowing some of the larger groups that even get to a girth of 50 members, we would be incredibly delighted to find 50 passionate people that want to do that. So I don't think that there is a ceiling for the number of members, but somewhere that has to be manageable for Ruth as the artistic director.
Sure.
And location and where do you meet and things like that. So mm-hmm. 40, kind of 40, I think, mm-hmm. for our group is about
right.
About where we'll run out of space.
Gotcha.
And
gotcha.
If any of your members, if any of your listeners are interested in joining our choir, we'd be only too happy to talk with them and have them audition with Ruth.
Uh-huh.
So feel free to refer them to us.
we're reaching 35 countries, and I do have quite a few listeners in South Africa and Australia, and when they hear your accent, I think they want to move to San Diego. Okay, this next selection is Bamir Bistashane, and when I play this at presentations, I give lectures on Yiddish music and so forth, what astounds me is with the Andrews Sisters, it was in 1938 or 39, we had the Depression, we had anti-Semitism, the Holocaust, and that this song should be sell over a million albums, which is like selling 5 or 10 million today. From that era always astounds me. Tell us a little bit about your selection. You're selecting Bamir Bistashane.
We try to pick songs for our album that had some historical significance. And
uh-huh.
When Sammy Kahn first heard this, he heard an African duo performing it up in the Catskills, and he bought the rights to the song for just $35.
Uh-huh.
And then when the Andrews Sisters put it on the flip side, it was sort of funny that the flip side of the album ended up earning more money than the A side of the album. So since we were looking for a variety of songs, we thought that this would be an appropriate one to put on the album.
Okay, so this is not the Andrews Sisters. This is the San Diego the San Diego Jewish Men's Choir with Bamir Bistashane.
What you should also know, Charlie, yes, is that for the Russian Olympics last night, in the skiing, they actually played this song for the Russian team.
Right. So interesting is the clarity of the selections. I don't know if it hits me as so clear. The recordings, it's they're great. They really are. Curious. I know Ruth. You are a professional and. One of the things that when I've tried to imagine forming a choir here in the metropolitan area of New York, the first question that comes to my mind is knowing that one has to pay a professional to put that the kind of effort that similar to the kind that you're putting in. And I was wondering, Ivan and others, did you... have to take it out of your own pocket to pay at times, or was it that you get paid for performances, and that is, you know, how financially do you get to pay the artistic director? If this is for others around the country that are trying to or thinking of forming a choir.
Well, the choir will typically have expenses, namely its director, the accompanist, if we have accompanists, accommodation, which fortunately we've skated fairly free on, and other expenses, occasional instrumentalists, transportation, uniforms, tuxedos in our case, items like that. So we have taken it out of our pocket. We request of our choir... when we run out of money, we request that they contribute a certain amount, and we'll nominate an amount and leave it open-ended. If the members of the choir are able to afford it, they give it. If some can't, they don't. And if some can afford to give more, they do. There's no requirement, no demand, no absolutely mandatory amount.
We've not had difficulty raising our own money internally. However, the sale of our CDs, we are hopeful, will generate some funds that can put us on a path of some independence.
And you are a 501c3?
Actually, Charlie, we are affiliated with the Center for Jewish Culture and Creativity, which is in itself a 501c3.
I see.
And we are in the process of obtaining our own certification and designation as our own 501c3.
Gotcha. Great. Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay. The next selection we'll be hearing is Artsa Aleinu.
Charlie, a wonderful piece. It's a traditional Israeli piece. It's about the pioneers. You know, they went to the land and it's a heartfelt song because it talks about how they plowed the land and they've sown the seeds, yet they have not reaped their reward yet. And this was kind of something a little bit about the choir as well. We're working hard and we plowed our own land for 15 years and planted the seeds of this beautiful music, and now we hope to reap the rewards of this incredible CD. It's a beautiful arrangement. It's somewhat of a medieval arrangement. You hear lots of trumpets and things like that. This piece was rearranged by Binder and our own Ruth Weber to give it that incredible medieval sound as well that works well with the contemporary Israeli piece. So please enjoy Artsa Aleinu.
Okay, great. I love it. I love it. By the way, earlier today, I went to visit one of my sons in North Jersey. He has 2 feet of snow, and it's supposed to snow again tonight. What's the weather like out in San Diego?
Oh, my God.
I don't want to make you cry, but above 70 today.
Beautiful sunny. Southern California, 72 degrees every day, Charlie.
Teachers were
full. Yeah. Okay. Abi Gesundt is the next selection we'll be hearing. How did you come to select that?
Well, Charlie, Elstein and Picon put this together. What a beautiful piece from Yiddish theater. I mean, this is the epitome of the storytelling of Judaism, right? I remember my Zeta, whenever Zeta spoke Yiddish to me, it sounded like a story. It was not like a language. And this is a perfect example of that. It's a song about a story, you know? They talk about, you know, if you've got your health, then that's what you need. You can thank your lucky star that you've got your health. And talks about the simple things in life, a shoe and a sock, and the air is beautiful and free. And I think that's a bit about, again, about our wonderful choir, how we believe this music should be enjoyed by everybody. This music is free to your ears and free for you to be joyous and sing along and listen to these incredible tracks. So this is why Ruth has done an incredible job by coaching our choir and making sure that these are the types of pieces that we perform.
Okay, wie gesagt. Great. I love it.
I have to tell you a funny story about when we were recording this song.
Uh-huh.
We had the saxophone player put on his part on top of the choir, and then the trumpet player said, oh, too bad I didn't bring my mute because I would love to put a wah-wah part on there. And so the studio owner said, oh, let me go and get my plunger from the toilet. We can take off the top part. We can use that for the mute from the trumpet. So they washed it in the sink, and that's how we put the trumpet part on there.
I love it. Now, again, to my listeners, you're at the computer, and you can Google San Diego Jewish Men's Choir and get the information on how to reach them, or you can go to sdjmc.org, is it?
Correct.
Okay. And what I want to recommend to my listeners is that you consider purchasing not just one, but several of these to, first of all, to give to your children and grandchildren, if you have, to introduce them to this wonderful music. Or if you are associated with some of the old age homes in your community, you might want to personally give a gift of this CD, and you may want to order quite a few of them. So it's just a suggestion. And if it was Hanukkah, I would tell you, you should buy many, many of these to give out, because it's much better than just giving out Hanukkah gelt. So I encourage you to look into purchasing this really terrific album. We'll hear perhaps one or two more selections. It's called Heritage. And as you can tell, the group is dynamite. San Diego Jewish Men's Choir. We're coming down to the last 10 minutes. How about any other comments or words of advice that you might have for any of you?
Charlie, I wanted to just give a couple of seconds about the type of functions that choirs such as ours perform at, and that would hopefully have your listeners think about the type of things in their communities that they could get involved in. We sing at a lot of festivals, like Jewish festivals, evenings that are put on by various communities to celebrate Jewish music. We sing at weddings, which has been incredible to bring this beautiful Eastern European songs like Seyusha Arim and Baruch Haba and Mi Adir. What a beautiful opportunity. It lends such ruach, such spirit to a wedding, to have a big choir singing these type of songs when the bride and the groom walk down the aisle.
By the way, does the entire choir join in that, or is it?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That has to be.
Absolutely.
That has to blow people
absolutely.
Away.
It's a very traditional. We used to do it in South Africa a lot. And we're going to hear a piece called Seyusha Arim, which is just a fantastic piece to sing at a wedding. And these are exactly the opportunities that our choir thrives at. We love bringing our music to a beautiful young couple, celebrating this incredible day for theirs. And we do a lot of, we do some fundraisers as well. If a shul has their annual fundraiser and they would like some musical talent, we offer an incredible draw. So if you have a choir that can really bring this fantastic music, diverse background of music, it draws a lot of people to events like this. You mentioned Hanukkah. That was an incredible opportunity last year. During Hanukkah, we had the Jewish and Arts Music Festival, the Jam, the Hanukkah Jam, where we launched our CD. And Ruth, I think we had at least 14, 15 other groups that participated. We were astounded by when we put the word out and we said to a lot of the other community groups, we said, come sing with us in this incredible festival, this jam festival. And we had a lot of takers. We had a lot of people that came and participated just to show their enthusiasm for this music. What was so special to us is the mayor of San Diego arrived at the festival and even did a proclamation that day that we performed would be proclaimed the Hanukkah Jam Festival Day. And we got the certificate and everything.
That's
and
great.
That just shows the value that hopefully we bring to the community, and others can aspire to things like that. This year, if any of your listeners listened to the Chabad Telethon, we were involved in that, and really it was our way of also giving back to Chabad, who's been so generous to us to allow us the infrastructure and their when we practice on Monday nights, we practice out of one of their facilities, as Ivan mentioned. So those are the type of areas. Look at the incredible opportunities that a choir such as ours has to sing. We're very grateful in San Diego to be able to do that.
Well, you're quite fortunate. By the way, you mentioned about tuxedos. Do you always wear a tuxedo when you sing?
No, not at rehearsals.
You know, Charlie, it depends on the event. Last year at Yom HaAtzmaut, when we do things like that, then we wear blue jeans and a white shirt.
Gotcha.
So it really depends. But a lot of the events that we sing at are professional events, and Ruth is very strict about making us look professional and sing professional. And a tuxedo with a bow tie makes us look all pretty.
That's
the way we appear.
Now, if you've had a chance to look at my website, you know that Chazonus is my passion, and all Jewish music, but particularly Chazonus. Do you ever have any of the quote, great cantors sing along with you, or you sing along with any of the cantors? Have you had that?
This is a great segue into our next piece, which will be Seyusha Arim.
Uh-huh.
We have invited some incredible cantors to sing with us. I would like to say Larry Cornett has been such an incredible supporter of our choir. He's a fantastic cousin right here in San Diego and has lent his voice to this beautiful piece that your listeners will now hear. And we do a lot of pieces from Naumburg and Lewandowski and Mombach and Sulzer.
Yes.
These are all beautiful, just the most incredible composers that have a lot of chazonis integrated into their mm-hmm. pieces. And Siush Arim is like the epitome of Naumburg. This is what he's known for. This is the piece that is sung all across the world, and we wanted to include that in the CD as one of the jewels in this crown. So we're really looking forward for your listeners to listen to Larry Cornett singing Naumburg.
By the way, how do you spell his last name?
Cornett is K-O-R-N-I-T.
Cornett. Okay, I have to Google him. Okay, but here's Siush Arim.
Siush Arim, Roshechem, Useu Pitche Olam, Yavo Melech HaKavod, Yavo Melech HaKavod. Mi Useu Melech
way to end this hour. It was just wonderful.
Thank you, Charlie. We really appreciate that. You know, a cappella pieces such as you just heard, Siush Arim, and our first piece, Psalm 150, are the most difficult pieces to sing for a choir. So we're glad that that we got your audience to enjoy those two pieces on this our incredible CD, Heritage.
Look, we have a couple more minutes. Any other closing thoughts from any of you?
Sure, Charlie. You know, we would just encourage your listeners to please once again Google us, go on our website, buy our CD on Amazon and on iTunes. And the money for the CD really goes towards that mission, that incredible mission that we have of the proliferation of this music to so many institutions and other schools. And those places that we've mentioned where we would love to get our CD out to them free of charge. And that is our number one goal, is to have people enjoy this beautiful music. And hopefully we've done a good job at presenting it on our CD. And we're really looking forward to distributing 1,000 copies of the CD free of charge all around America and the rest of the world. So, so we hope that your listeners will support us in mm-hmm. that endeavor. And I think that's part of our mission, is we're looking for the support from others to help us to get and spread this music around the world.
Okay, it's a worthy cause, to say the least. So Ivan, Sean, Ruth, Brian, and Mark, thank you for taking the time for sharing your. We can all sense the passion that you have, and for sharing this wonderful music with us. And I thank you, and look forward to continuing to have contact with you and hearing about you should be going from success to success.
Thank you, Charlie. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Shalom.